Well, good morning, everyone. Thank you for tuning in online. Let me just finish setting up right here. Thank you, Frank, for pulling up the TV. Wherever you are right now, can we just give a hand clap for Frank Connolly for just being the best? Yeah, good morning, everyone. If you don't have a Bible with you, I don't know what to tell you. If you don't have a Bible with you, just go ahead and power it on, look it up on the internet. We're going to turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 through 18 is where we'll be. I'll give you a moment just to turn there. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 through 18. So, good morning, church family. Welcome to all of you who are watching with us online. Today's message is a very special, unique message for the encouragement of our members and regular attenders. That said, I do believe that those of you who may be watching us for the first time today will be encouraged and feel pressed to persevere in hope for wherever you find yourself in this moment. I have been praying with a few of the people from our church family about this particular message this Sunday. Our new series starts next week, and we had this one Sunday in between Pastor and Kim Hawley leaving and Unshakable beginning next week. And so I asked myself this, what could I come and say that would address any uncertainty, but would also lift our spirits and would push us forward together as a church family? How could I faithfully shepherd and pastor a mixed congregation through today's preaching? Next week, we'll begin our first sermon series, and it will feel like a normal Sunday church gathering. But I did feel it would be wrong for me to walk into the room this morning and try and ignore the need for this first Sunday. And that's why I believe God led me to today's text. You see, transitions are never easy. There are things that can be done to make it work smoother, and I believe this transition was done well under the wisdom and discernment of Pastor Hawley. But even that doesn't necessarily make it easy. And yet, here on October 24th, 2021, I can say with confidence, God is doing and will continue to do a great work in this church body. How do I know this? Well, because here's what we read in Scripture. This is from Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, where Paul says, "I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion." He who has begun a good work in us will be faithful to bring it to completion. Yes, it's easier to hide than to press in. It's easier to run than to stay. Yet we know that Christ's call to follow is never easy necessarily, but it is always worth it. And so then, let us, me, you, all of us together, those in the room, those who are watching online, let us together, with hope and with confidence, let us look to where God is leading us in these days to come. God is calling us to persevere. God is calling us to keep on keeping on. Keep on keeping on. In circumstances like we find ourselves in right now, we're filled with questions of what if? What if this? What if that? And this leads us to feel unsure, unsure of what could be, unsure of what was, unsure of where we're headed, unsure of what we could gain or what we could lose. We're tempted with uncertainty. But what if this moment of uncertainty could be holy? at least for a moment. In moments of uncertainty, we often lose hope. Yet Scripture says that uncertainty is the very place where hope can be birthed. Because we hope in what is not seen. We hope in what is yet to come. Paul says, who hopes in what he can see? For hope that is seen is not hope at all. Now, believe it or not, the believers, the church at Philippi, once found themselves in a similar place that we are navigating right now. Notice I said similar, not same. Paul the Apostle wrote the letter to the Philippians from a Roman prison cell. We believe it was about AD 62 when Paul wrote the letter. And the church at Philippi held a special significance for Paul because it was his first church plant in Europe. Paul begins the letter by just addressing his thankfulness for the church. He talks about his own persecution as well as the persecution of the church itself. And then he encourages the church, the believers, to bring about them the very attitude of Christ. And right in the middle of his letter, Paul has somewhat of what I would call a pastoral moment. A pastoral moment with the church as he recognizes the likelihood of his imminent death, or at the very least, his absence from the church. Let's read what Paul writes to the believers at Philippi. This is Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 through 18, if you would look with me. Paul says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. Even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and I rejoice with you all. Likewise, you also should be glad and rejoice with me. In this text, we read Paul's exhortation to the church at Philippi. Now, most of us understand exhortation to be synonymous with encouragement, and that is very much what it is. But exhortation is a specific kind of encouragement. It is encouragement that moves someone toward an action of some kind. It is meant to inspire. It is meant to motivate. It is meant to compel. And Paul doesn't just want to make them feel a nice warm and fuzzy, but he actually continues to dream for what the church could be. Now, in verse 12, Paul essentially says that the show must go on. The work of Christ in you and through you must continue. Let's look at verse 12. This is what Paul says. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Paul then states that it is God who is working in you for his will and his good pleasure. Paul recognizes that it is not his church, but it is Christ's church. These are his people. Paul confronts another church, the church at Corinth, on this very thing. This is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12 through 13, when Paul says, what I mean is that each one of you are saying, well, I follow Paul, or I follow Apollos, or I follow Cephas. And some of you are saying, I follow Christ. But is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? Paul is saying to the church at Corinth, just as he does to the church at Philippi, you are Christ's people. You belong to him. There is no moment where Christ is not with you, his bride. In our text today, Paul gives three specific encouragements to the church at Philippi. These same encouragements are what Pastor Holly and I would give to you today, South Bay Bible Church. The first is this: keep obeying. Keep obeying. Let's look at verse 12 and 13 one more time. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is working in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Paul commends the church's faithfulness and obedience to the Lord while he was around, and he's now asking them to continue in that same obedience when he is no longer present. Paul actually hopes for a deeper, increased devotion to the Lord upon his exit from the church. And he says, continue to work out your salvation with fear and with trembling. Now, this verbiage, quote, work out, means two things simultaneously, two things at the same time. It means, one, to apply, and two, to see it through or persevere in it. When we talk about applying our salvation, Paul is asking them to actually live out their calling from the Lord, to present a real, genuine, tangible faith through obedience. And so far as seeing it through, it has been said that no one can act their way into spiritual maturity. They can only persevere into it. Paul says, God is working in you. God is working in you. Have you ever thought about the means by which God works in his people? A large part of the way God works through his people is in their continued, unrelenting obedience. When God's people continue to obey him despite hardship, God is at work in his people. When God's people continue to obey him despite persecution, God is at work in his people. When God's people continue to obey him despite uncertainty, God is at work in his people. Continued obedience to the Lord bears great fruit in the life of the believer. Paul wants that for the church, and God wants that for his people. The second encouragement Paul gives is to keep shining. Keep shining. This is verse 14 through 15. Let us look together. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Paul encourages the church, reminding them of how they shine in the midst of a crooked generation. This is God's desire for his people. It always has been, even since calling his people Israel in the Old Testament, all the way back in Genesis. You may recall in 1 Samuel 8, when Israel said they wanted a king so that they could be, quote, like the other nations. This was a major problem because the intention was not that God's people would be changed by the other nations, but that they, as God's shining light, would change the nations around them. God has always desired that his people would shine, that they would stand out among the crowd. But notice in this text how Paul says the church at Philippi will stand out. Paul says they will be noticed, they will stand out, they will shine as lights because of two things: their joy and their unity. Their joy and their unity. He says, don't grumble, don't complain, don't attack one another. Paul charges them to choose delight, not misery. He instructs them to choose togetherness, not hostility. Paul knows that this will certainly stand out in a society ridden with selfishness and animosity. Complainers blend in. Grumblers blend in. Angry people blend in. God wants us to shine and to shine bright with joy and unity rooted in Jesus Christ. And then finally, Paul says, keep holding on to the word of life. Keep holding on to the word of life. This is verse 16. It is unclear here whether word of life is describing scripture or Jesus Christ himself. Either would be appropriate for Paul to be referencing here. However, I think I could make a good argument that Paul is instructing the church to hold fast to Christ. Why would Paul seek to inspire the church to hold fast to Christ? Well, because Christ is holding fast to them. Paul is essentially saying, do not forsake Jesus Christ. He has not forsaken you. To hold fast is to hold tightly, to pull closely to Christ. It is to cling to him with a strong grip. It is not to barely touch or loosely grasp onto Christ. Paul's concern was likely that some would perhaps leave the faith or fall away. So instead, Paul charges them to come close and hold tight to the word of life, which is Jesus Christ, their Savior and Redeemer, who purchased them with his own blood. Christ does not give up on his church. He continues to keep, bless, and protect his bride. Christ has not left the church, and he will continue on as her good shepherd. This was intended to be just a short encouragement for us today. Paul finishes his exhortation by stating that even if his life is given as an offering to the Lord, his joy, Paul's joy, would be the strength and the endurance and the perseverance of the church. The Lord rejoices in that. Paul rejoices in that. And you, church, must rejoice in that also. God was at work in the believers in Philippi for his will and good pleasure, and he is doing the same in us. And so, South Bay Bible Church, wherever you're watching from, your living room, the local Starbucks, wherever you are, I encourage you, keep obeying the Lord. Keep shining as lights. Keep holding on to Christ, because Christ is holding on to us. In our perseverance, in our endurance as a church together, God gets the glory and we get the joy. And there is no loss in that. Is no loss in that. Let's pray. Father, you are good and you are holy, Lord. Perfect in all of your ways. Lord, we believe that you are at work in us, Lord. That you are doing and will continue to do a great work in this church. Lord, we believe that in the knowledge of your word and the power of your spirit, God, you lead us. You shepherd us, Lord, faithfully as a good shepherd. Lord, I pray that you would continue to move us, to lead us, to stir our affections, Lord. Lord, that you would press us to keep going in obedience to you, Lord. To submit our hearts, to submit our minds, our will, Lord, our hands, our feet, Lord, to you, to your holy scripture, Lord. Lord, I pray that we would keep shining as lights, lights that just emanate with joy and, Lord, with unity together. Lord, in the midst of a crooked generation, would we stand out? Would we inspire because of the love that you have put in us and around us, Lord? And God, I pray that, Lord, you would give us the strength, Lord, to hold tightly to you. That, Lord, you would just cultivate in us the desire to be close to you always. Lord, you are holding on to us, and so we hold on to you. Lord, I love your word when it says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Lord, though this message was short and sweet and simple, Lord, I pray that you would encourage our church family. That, Lord, you would bring peace to any uncertainty, Lord. That you would comfort the hurting, Lord. That, Lord, you would inspire us with excitement about what you're going to do in the days to come, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You are a good God. You only do good things. You give us good gifts. You lead us down good paths. Lord, you work everything in our life for good. We believe that. We believe in what you have for us, Lord. I pray that we would come ready and hungry and anticipating, Lord. Hands open, ready to receive everything you have to give us. Move us forward, God, strong together as a church. Lord, let us keep doing everything we've always done. Let us stick to the mission of leading people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. Let us not hold back. Let us not pull back, but Lord, let us push in. Let us lean forward. Encourage us, Lord. Compel us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. At this time, we're going to move into our time of worship through giving, and I want you to think on what we talked about today in this sermon, and remembering that we practice generosity as an act of obedience. We practice generosity for a means of shining light in our community, and we practice generosity. We practice our giving in holding close to Christ, and so we're going to move into our time of giving. At this time, I think there is a number for you to text if you want to do that, or you can give online. There's a link on our website where you can give there. Or you can mail in your checks, however you prefer to do that. But we believe this is an act of worship to God. And so we're going to do that at this moment. And then I'm going to pray a benediction over us. So wherever you are, let's just put our hands out in a posture of receiving from the Lord. Lord, we just thank you again for your church. Thank you for this technology today, God, that we could just continue to be with one another, Lord, in spirit. And God, I just pray, Lord, that you would just continue to stir our hearts, continue to move us, Lord. Continue to impress us forward, God. And Lord, keep us safe. Keep us healthy, Lord. Restore our health. Lord, bring any who are in sickness to full health, Lord. We believe that you can do it. We believe you are healer, Lord. Lord, keep us, guard us, those who are not sick, Lord. Just keep us from sickness, Lord. Keep us in health. And Lord, we'll be sure to give you the honor and the glory and the praise, Lord. Keep us safe and bring us back together at the next appointed time. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. God bless.